Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my father is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Turn to Judges chapter 7, the next chapter there. Then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well in Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people under the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And all the people, all the other people, go every man unto his place. Now, last week, we established the fact that 10 times better was not to be an isolated case. We established the truth of Scripture that when God calls, God equips. That 10 times better is meant to be the new normal for God's people, for God's children. Now, the Sunday school lesson went greatly with what we're going to talk about today. God wants to set his children up to be 10 times better than the devil's crowd. We establish that as the will of God for those who pay attention, for those who follow, for those who are disciples of God. Okay? Now, today is part two, because there's a catch. Not all qualify. There is a path. There is a formula that is required. I want you to observe chapter 6, verse 15. O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Notice the combination, a necessary combination here, okay? This is the recipe, and God will work under no other conditions. Observe again in chapter 7, verse 2. The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. For God to make you 10 times better, he has to make sure that you are out of the way. This is an investment, and there's a risk in every investment, and God is watching. God is asking, and making me 10 times better, will it help the cause or will it ultimately hurt the cause? I need to be out of the way, yet I'm the one who's going to be bearing the sword. I'm the one who's going to be the vessel. So what does out of the way mean? Out of the way means I'm completely trusting his wisdom and not my own. Out of the way means his plans are not edited by my wisdom. That means that if his plans are edited by my wisdom, it's doomed to failure. His plan executed his way through my body is the formula, okay? But in order for God to work through people, he doesn't circumvent their brain. He doesn't circumvent their will. He doesn't circumvent who they are and what they think, okay? It's their responsibility to get that in line, and that is very difficult, okay? And we're going to talk about the dynamics of that. Remember in 1 Samuel 15:17, that Samuel said to Saul, when thou wast little in thine own sight, thou wast made the head of the tribes of Israel. So God made an investment in a young man. A young man who lacked self-confidence, a young man who was little in his own sight. God said, I think I can use this vessel. But there was a problem, because after the successes, he vaunted himself as though he had delivered it with his own hand. And so the vessel became unusable. But the problem is God had already made the investment and had already put him in a position. And therefore, he became a failure in the position that God placed him in. Why? Well, because he wasn't he didn't stay out of the way. He didn't stay little in his own sight. In 2 Samuel 7:8, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. But where did this start? Okay, where does it always have to start? Samuel goes to visit Jesse. And it came to pass, when they were come, that Samuel looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Eliab was a kingly type of fella, okay? But you know what? We'll find here that God is not needing your strength, your stature. God is not needing your ability. God is needing something else. He can supply all that. All right? When he wanted to make the tabernacle in the Old Testament, Brother Dave mentioned this last week. We were talking about 10 times better. God wanted to make these brass things that were cast and gold things that were overlaid. There was a lot of workmanship and skill that was needed to make the tabernacle what it ought to be. And so he took Bezalel and he gave him, the Spirit of God came upon him for one purpose, to be able to make all this stuff and to be able to teach others how to make it. God didn't need the ability. He had the ability. He needed something else. What's he looking for? It says here, and the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. God didn't refuse him as an Israelite. God refused him for this 10 times better plan that he had because Eliab wasn't up to it. Eliab was in the way. So he says here, I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Okay? Eliab had abilities. God didn't need Eliab's abilities. God was looking for a heart. He could supply the abilities. All right? But But God is not going to supply the heart. That is something you and I have to supply. And it doesn't come overnight. You can't say all of a sudden, I'm going to jump into this category so I can be a man after God's own heart. Like we said last week, you can't pull it out of your pocket. You can't pull it out of a hat. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. We didn't even bother calling him. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. We didn't figure like he was even in the equation here. We didn't believe he was important here. He's the one that we leave the sheep with when there's an important thing to do. Okay? I've noticed in a number of families, we've looked at a lot of different families over the years, and there's usually one young person who is handed the dirty job, and they get used to taking it, and they get used to being left at home, and they get used to doing the hard job and the bad job, and you know what? They become the jewel of that family. Mm-hmm. Anyways, here's David. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come. And he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy, and with all of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. God is asking when he looks at the heart. He's looking at the heart. He sees every heart. He's asking, does this one qualify for the 10 times better makeover? Does this one qualify for the 10 times better blessing? Does this one qualify for the 10 times better investment that I want to make in their life? To be used as part of the solution, are you listening to me this morning? To be used as part of the solution, you cannot also be part of the problem.
Right.
Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. In Sunday school, we talked about this. We talked about the fact that different goals require different wisdom. Okay, it requires one kind of wisdom if you want to be the richest man in the world. It requires a different kind of wisdom if you want to be the best evangelist. And so there's a wisdom having to do with knowing how to get the product, knowing how to get there, knowing what needs to be done. And worldly wisdom is for worldly gain. There are many worldly wise men who do great. They're shrewd. They know how to accomplish the task they're looking for. And that is a form of wisdom. God gave Solomon wisdom. He gave him the ability to map out the right path to the goal. The problem is, as the years went by, Solomon chose bad goals. He could still accomplish them, but that wasn't what God intended for him to do with the wisdom and the ability he gave. Okay? I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, that respond to that means. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after their own wisdom. Okay, it's a different wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. that no flesh should vaunt themselves that their own hand had done it, that there no flesh should assume that I got here by my own wits. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and justification and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The antinomian knotheads, they say, oh, you know, we can't talk about running the race and finishing our course and enduring to the end, because then the Bible says, lest any man should boast. They don't understand the type of boasting we're talking about. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's not the kind of boasting that he was speaking against. All right? The boasting that he's speaking against is saying, my own hand has saved me. This is talking about boasting in the Lord. By the Lord, I leaped over the wall. By the Lord, I ran through a troop. Okay? That's boasting in the Lord. Because when you get to that point, when you get that blessing, you get there by first knowing that it's not you. Let me tell you the story of a young man. Socially, he was insecure. Socially, he felt like a fifth wheel, like the nerd. He became very introverted, was intimidated by stage or spotlight, hated to be the center of attention. Do you know why this young man was insecure, quiet, felt like a misfit? Because he knew he didn't have a good product to market. Okay, you see this bag right here? There's me written all over it. When I went to school, this is all I had to offer, and I knew it wasn't much. Like, you know, there's something in here, but I don't want you looking in here. I don't want you to really know what's in here. When I went to church, this is all I had. When they were in a crowd, youth activity, this is it. But I knew it wasn't much. I was very insecure. I was intimidated. I was quiet because this is all there was. Okay, you follow me? I knew I had nothing to offer. I had my little paper sack when I went to school, when I went to a youth group, when I went to church, when I went anywhere in society. One day God called. I want you to serve me. I said, oh Lord, I have nothing. I have nothing to offer. There's nothing in there but air. That's it. God said, no, I think you might be the one I'm looking for. I said, God, I'm a nerd. I'm a misfit. I don't have anything anybody wants. God said, I'm not asking you to market you. I want you to represent me. You can throw your little bag away. Forget your little bag. Now it's absorbing something under there. Okay. I don't want you to represent you. Oh, God, I'm a failure. God says, I have what they need. I have what they need. I just need a messenger boy. I just need a vessel. I don't need your wit. I don't need your strength. I don't need your ability. I don't need your know-how. I don't need you marketing you. That's the last thing I need. So I stopped taking my little paper sack to school, and I started carrying my Bible to school. Amen. When you take your Bible to a public school, you leave the sack at home. Otherwise, you wouldn't take your Bible to school. If you were worried about marketing the sack, if you're worried about peddling your wares, you wouldn't take your Bible to school. But when you take your Bible to school, it shows that you left the sack at home. It wasn't about me anymore. It was about him. God wants to make you something that you know you didn't do. God wants you to accomplish something that you know you didn't accomplish. Before God turned a humble shepherd into one of the greatest men of all time, they had a conversation in Exodus 4:10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am of slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, and who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. You know why you have a problem speaking out for the Lord in public? Do you know why you may have a problem getting up here and teaching and preaching?
Come on.
You know why? Because you're not impressed with your little bag. You know you don't have much to offer. You're up here worried about what people are thinking about this. Forget your bag. Amen?
Amen.
You get up here and think of nothing but presenting him and representing him, how wonderful he is, how smart he is. I had a salesman job one time. I applied for that salesman job. I went in for the interview. And the idea was this. We're selling windows. There's many different grades of window. We don't want people to think they're getting mid-grade. We don't want them to think they're getting a lower grade. So first of all, you inquire and find out how much money they have to spend. And then you tell them, this one is the best your money can buy. It is the best your money can buy. It's not actually a lie. This is the best your money can buy. This is the highest grade your money can buy. So what they're saying is, you take a mediocre product and you market it as though it is premium. So they think they got the premium product, and really they got a mid-grade or low-grade because that's all they really wanted to spend. I don't have to do that when I'm representing the Lord.
Right.
I'm talking about the King of Kings. I'm talking about the Lord of Lords. What I'm telling you, I didn't write. The laws that I lay down are not mine. I didn't write the book. I didn't edit the book. I had nothing to do with the book. I'm representing the Lord, and I know it's the best thing for you to do. I know it's the smartest thing for you to do. I know it's the best way to live.
Amen.
I don't have to say this is the best your money can buy. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Why would they be rich in faith? God hath chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. What is it that makes them rich in faith? You know, God specializes in transforming misfits, rejects, failures into kings and ambassadors and priests. The poor of this world have stopped being impressed with their little bag. And they've gotten dependent and impressed with what God gives, knowing that only God did that. If I'm going to make it another week, it's going to be God and not me. And that's a good program for building faith. And they become rich in faith. Why? Because they're not trusting in themselves. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Lord. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, those who were really impressed with what was in their sack. You've hid all this from those people and hast revealed it unto babes. Now, these were grown men. What's he saying? You've revealed it unto people who had abandoned their bag. They abandoned their little sack. They knew they weren't resting in that. They knew that wasn't going to do it. They knew that wasn't going to work. That's why when John the Baptist came on the scene, they were some of the first ones in the first 6 months of his ministry. They became his disciples. And when he said Jesus was the Messiah, they went to that. Why? Because they had stopped trusting in their own little bag. They were seeking what God had. He says here, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What's the connection there? Trying to market this is a heavy yoke. Trying to market this is a burden. When God's yoke comes, it comes with God's 10 times better blessing. When you take upon yourself God's yoke, it comes with built-in strength. It comes with built-in ability. It comes with built-in help. So he says, take my yoke upon you. That's how it connects with you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent. You revealed it unto babes. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. You can do what I'm asking you to do. In Luke 5:37, he says, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Your natural man cannot take a 10 times better makeover. Your natural man cannot take God's yoke. Listen to me. Your natural man cannot take God's 10 times better yoke without both of them, one being spilled, perished, ruined, bad investment. God's not going to take he's not going to take and pour his blessing upon you while you're still peddling your wares, while you're still promoting your idea, while you're still pushing your little sack, okay? God's not impressed. He's not interested in empowering you to market and peddle your sack. While you're still an old wineskin, it's not going to work. When you come to the end of yourself, when you stop being so impressed with your bag, when you stop liking all that stuff in there and cherishing it and wanting to promote it, then God says, hey, I've got something for you. I've got something for you to market. I've got a product for you. God will make you a new wine skin, put his wine in you. He'll accomplish something worth accomplishing. Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. We find this concept throughout Scripture. We find that in Corinth, there were some false teachers peddling their worldly wisdom, peddling their way, and they were judging Paul and weighing Paul on their scale. Paul says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Paul became 10 times better by simply being a steward of God's product. He didn't care whether he was being weighed on their scale. He wasn't marketing Paul. Okay? He goes on to say, with me is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Paul is essentially saying, I'm not marketing Paul. I'm marketing the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care if you say my speech is contemptible. My bodily presence is weak. I don't care about that. In 2 Corinthians 4:5, to this same bunch, he says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. 2 Corinthians 10:17, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. What am I saying this morning? We talked about the fact that God wants every disciple to be 10 times better than the devil's crowd. He wants to take you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. He wants to take you and remodel you and transform you and use you as 10 times better than what you were before he got a hold of you. 10 times better than what the devil has to do, his crowd is doing, and what they know and what they have to offer. Understand, 10 times better is not mathematics. It's a hyperbolic statement, okay? It's like the beam and the mote in your eye. There's numerous cases in the Bible where we find God investing, God finding a vessel, someone who is willing to throw their sack away, someone who was stopped, who wasn't impressed with their sack, someone who said, Lord, my family's poor and I'm the least in my family. God said, go in this thy might. You're going to smite him as one man. God could not do that with just anybody. God knew where to look. He's watching right now. But there's something you need to know before you start marketing God's ways. In Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And then thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. When you, the first thing that you do when God calls you, and you say, Lord, I have nothing to offer. I don't even want people looking in my sack. I don't even want to know what a jerk I am. I have nothing to offer, Lord. God says, I just need you to market me. I don't need you to market you. I'm not interested in peddling your wares. I've got something valuable. I've got something precious. I've got something powerful. I've got something right. And if you are representing this, it in itself will transform you first. And then you'll be a vessel to transform others. In 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same. Did you hear that? As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. After I was converted, after I tossed my sack and started carrying my Bible to school, it's amazing the change it made in my life. I could be bold and confident when I was just presenting Jesus. I could not do that when I was presenting Mark Bolin. I knew better. Didn't want to do that. Didn't want to get caught there. I knew that wasn't anything worth peddling. But when I could peddle the Lord Jesus Christ, when I could represent him, when I had a product that I knew was top notch, it gave me boldness. It gave me confidence. In English class, one time the teacher wanted us to give a short speech. I forget the exact reason, but my speech was this. There was a commercial on the television in those days where a guy said he used a particular razor and he liked it so much he bought the company. And he was the guy giving the commercial. I liked it so much I bought the company. Okay? Any of you remember that commercial? Oh, you're dating yourself, I guess. Okay. Anyways, I used that commercial and shared my testimony, shared what the Lord had done in my life. And I said, basically, I liked it so much, I become a distributor. I liked it so much, I'm going to peddle his wares from now on. Class was pretty quiet. But listen to me this morning. You don't have to invent the vitamin. You just have to take it. You take it, you benefit by it, and then you market it with your own testimonial. You take it, you put it in your heart, you're blessed by it, you're transformed by it, you're changed by it, and then all you've got to do is brag on Jesus. All you got to do is brag on what God did in your heart. All you've got to do is share what God did for you. You can have the heart God is looking for. He will not supply the heart, but he'll supply everything else. He'll supply the training. He'll supply the product. He'll supply everything you need, but he will not supply the heart. As long as you're toting your little bag around, as long as you're impressed with your bag, you're not going to peddle his products. Remember when the demoniac was converted? Man, what did he have to offer? What did that demoniac have to offer? Jesus said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. That's all I've got to peddle. That's all I've got to say. I don't have to impress you. I don't have to impress you with my knowledge. I don't have to make you think I'm great. All I've got to do is tell you about a little boy, a young man in high school who felt like he was a nerd, a misfit, didn't have anything to offer, didn't feel like he would ever make a mark in history. And God said, you know what? I know that you don't want to peddle your wares, peddle mine. You don't feel like you have anything to offer, and you're right, you don't. You have nothing to offer this world, but I do, God says. I do have something to offer, and I'm looking for a messenger boy. I'm looking for someone who will first take what I have to offer, be transformed by it, be blessed by it, and then spend your life bragging on God. When Jesus wanted to feed 5,000, he didn't need the man who owned the bakery. He needed a little boy with a sack lunch he was willing to give away. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you have a little sack you're willing to give away? You have a little sack you're willing to give away? You have a little sack that you realize is not worth peddling? You have a little sack that you know that it's not what the world needs. It's not what the world wants. It's not worth me peddling and marketing. I can't be confident. You willing to give it up? Throw it away? You willing to just say, Lord, my family's poor and I'm the least in my family's house, but God says, come here. I'm going to smite Midian through you as one man. You willing to be the one that says, Lord, I'm slow of speech and a slow tongue. I can't do it. And God says, come here. I made the tongue. I made the speech. You go do what I tell you to do. And Moses, after a little bit more arguing, did. Moses was meek, the Bible says. You know why Moses became the greatest leader in the Old Testament? The greatest leader Israel ever had next to the Messiah? Because God took a lot of time till Moses was not impressed with his bag. He did not want to peddle his wares. He had given up. He had given up on his bag. Content to be out there by himself as a shepherd in the wilderness with the sheep, he had given up on that bag. Not doing that, not going there. God said, I think you're what I'm looking for. I think I could use you. Let's stand together. Brother Mark, I want to be 10 times better. 10 times better is not God making you more capable of marketing your bag.
Right.
10 times better is not God giving you a makeover so the world is more impressed with your bag. 10 times better is you saying, Lord, that's not worth marketing at all. And God says, okay, come here. I've got something for you to spread. I've got something for you to represent. I've got something for you to market. That's where 10 times better comes from.
Amen.
Why don't you throw that bag away? Why don't you quit worrying about what you have to offer, what you think, what you want, how impressive you are? Why don't you just throw all that away? Your idea, everything that is marketing you, just say, Lord, I just want you. I want you to change me into the image of your son, and then I just want to brag on what you did. I just want to brag on what you did. I wasn't going to give an altar call this morning, but I feel like maybe It would be wrong not to. Titus, I want you to get a song, please. Ready? Why don't you come on up here, get ready to sing a hymn. Why don't you come and lay your bag on the altar. Say, Lord, I'm done with that. I don't want to market that anymore. I don't even like it. Just put it on the altar. Let God burn it. Burn that bag. Let God give you something to market that's worth peddling. I hope you understand deeply what I'm saying this morning. I hope it hits home enough for you really understand what I'm talking about this morning. Titus, you come on up here and lead us in a song. As Titus begins to sing, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, when I went forward in youth camp, that's exactly the transaction that took place. I knew God wanted me to do something. I knew I should serve Him, but I felt totally incapable of meeting the demand of doing something for God. I went forward and basically said, God, I'm yours, but that's not saying much. I don't have anything to offer. I know that you, I'm not giving you anything, but I'm still yours. You willing to throw your bag away this morning? As Titus begins to sing, why don't you come and lay it on the altar? Just lay it there, get rid of it, and tell God, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to represent anything of me. I just want to be your vessel.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross?